Dr. James Karse has welcomed us into his home and his life for a few longer minutes. Not all that few. When we talk about belief, it's easy to, we've already said that there are lots of ways to do belief systems, and ideology is one way to think of that. It's most pressing to me at the moment because of the immense conflicts that are perceived and pretty deadly among those who have religious perspectives. Mm-hmm. So find a way for me to understand the difference between the belief, because this is at the heart of what you're trying to help me see, mm-hmm. is that religion does not carry the same weight, the same water, the same baggage as right. belief does.
Right. Well, it might be useful to just to recall that philosophers and theologians and students of religion have tried consistently since the 18th century, since the European Enlightenment, to find a definition of religion. What is it about? If we look over all the religious phenomena of the human race, what are the things held in common? Is there one element? Is there one experience that we have that's religious? Is there one kind of institution? Is there one practice or discipline? Well, we know now, of course, that was a highly failed enterprise. In fact, no serious scholar today even tries to define religion. It's too rich a phenomena, there are too many elements to it, and so on. But what, and I agree, I'm perfectly in that way of thinking. But what I find striking is that most scholars don't talk about them, to my knowledge, no scholars talk about, is the longevity of these religious traditions. If you're a modern Jew, you could go back to you could go back to Judaism after the destruction of the Second Temple. Say we can to get too technical here, but you could go back
after the year current era 170 to 100.
Yeah, say back in there, right? That's right. After the year 70. When the rabbinical tradition was starting, you would feel perfectly at home in that tradition. You'd know how to engage each other in conversation and
you'd know what they were arguing about.
Yeah, you would understand the arguments. Right, right, you would. Now, the same thing goes for him. I mean, look, yoga is 4,000 years old. We know that there are little statuettes of people in a lotus position that are at least 4,000 years old. And they knew as much about yoga then as we know today. So you could move back and forth. These things haven't changed. To make it a little more forceful, we note that these traditions not only do not change, they don't overlap with each other. Or they don't mix with each other. People would love to say, "Well, don't all of the religions believe in God?" You know, you've heard people talk that way. Well,
and the answer
if
is
that
no.
were if that were the case, then you'd take Judaism, Jews believe in God, Muslims believe in God, Christians believe in God. Well, why is it that the three traditions have existed alongside each other in the Middle East and in Europe now for 1,400 years without anyone being confused about whether he or she is a Jew, a Christian, or a Muslim?
And it's pretty much the same God. By some...
Well, they all... Abrahamic. Actually, but they all consider themselves children of Abraham. That's right. The term that's used.
Right.
And when you get into those the inner life of those religions, you find they're extremely different from each other. So there are a lot of consequences of this way of thinking. For one thing, if you say there's nothing in common between the religions, then you'd have to say they have nothing to say to each other. That sounds strange, but if you think it through, it happens to be the case.
Which isn't to Muslims, say they shouldn't talk to each other.
Right. It doesn't mean that, but it means that no Christian is going to enlighten a Muslim on the meaning of Allah or the reason for the Hajj or something like that. It won't happen. As a Christian, now you could learn, you could study a lot of Islam and find out more about Islam than maybe a Muslim does. But that would, then you're speaking in strictly Islamic terms. They won't listen to you, in fact, if they don't recognize your voice within that tradition.
And vice versa.
And vice versa, right. It has another consequence that might be confusing, and that is that not only do religions have nothing to say to each other, they have nothing to say. That there is no point to a religion. It doesn't exist for a reason. They can't be used by political or sociological or economic structures. Rather, they exist in human society in a kind of alienated form. To approach any religion authentically, you would find yourself uneasy, not knowing exactly what kind of a phenomenon you're getting into. And there's a reason for that. That is, within these great religious traditions, all of the great religions, they are not sure themselves what's going on. And that's why these traditions have such vitality. These people are still trying to figure out what it's about.
They're trying to figure out the questions, not the answers?
You know, if you take the Buddha, his initial sermon after his so-called enlightenment made the claim that all people suffer, or live and exist, suffer, and that suffering is caused by attachment, and you overcome it by giving up your attachments and so on. Those are very, very simple ideas, extremely simple ideas. But if you read a history of Buddhism, any comprehensive history, you would find it dazzling in its varieties. And everyone's still working on those original words. There are all kinds of movements and divisions and different philosophies and teachers and methods of disciplines and so on within Buddhism, but still all Buddhist. So they themselves, I mean, no one within Buddhism can tell you exactly what Buddhism's about. That's what I find extraordinary.
I find myself thinking of this sort of and as the front brain fallacy. And I don't mean to be too cute about that. That we have a sense that that we can use our language to precisely define what Christianity is, or what Buddhism is,
right,
or Hinduism, or you know any.
We're
of
all
those.
Sure we can do that.
And that all it required, the reason there are all these texts, you know, if we push it cleverly enough, if we use the right logic, that we will be able to pin it down, know what it is once and forever, achieve it.
Right,
which of course leaves the and then what question, but it also
well then it dies. Once you know what it's all about, just take a very simple thing. If someone could write a brief or even a huge essay, say, on what the New Testament is about, then we could drop the New Testament and use that. But we can't drop the New Testament. No one's been able to make that.
Listen, you say that it sounds sort of like what the Mormons tried to do and have not really succeeded to this point. You use two examples look at this longevity question with respect to how it relates to us in a way that we care about it, which is death and evil, and those seem to me to help. Even if we can't define it, we can sort of get a feel for it, a non-front brain sort of feel of about what it is about religion that matters.
And we can do that.
And it clearly matters.
And will matter when we come back in a moment with James Carse here in Massachusetts. We're delighted to be with him, and he joins us in inviting you to come back soon.